Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, David Blake. When we come back, Glenn from Metairie says he knew the victim that from Saturday night on Bourbon Street. And I'm very angry. I'd like to hear from y'all at 260-1870. Somebody texts in here and says, of course the system has failed this shooter. Nobody's feeling sorry for him. However, to what the caller said, throwing people in jail and locking them up is not the answer. Statistics show that we need to invest in better schools and things like that. Who statistically commits a crime? Rich people or poor people? On middle class, poor people commit more crime. You know, again, I always give you the example that during the Depression, a lot of people were broke, but they didn't start killing people.
Yeah, they didn't run wild.
They handled it a lot better. So, Glenn, hang on. I want to hear what you have to say. 260-1870. You feel safe at Mardi Gras? Do you feel safe on Bourbon Street? And I'm going to tell you what, this thing upsets me more almost than if one guy's trying to rob another drug dealer or what have you and bullets start flying, because this could have been any of us. And if you had a parade this weekend, what did you see? Did you feel safe with the police presence, especially in Orleans Parish? Give me a call. Let me know. 260-1870. 7:15, juvenile crime. I'm going from a Channel 4 story here. Violent crime by juvenile offenders. Mike Pearlstein in New Orleans hitting record levels. 7 juveniles arrested in a string of armed robberies. 13-year-old accused of trying to carjack an undercover state trooper uptown. A group of kids as young as 9 terrorizing the Bywater and Marigny. And in December, 3 teens arrested in a carjacking that took the life of a pastor's wife. One was 15. They were indicted last week. Are we tough enough on juvenile offenders? Felony arrests for juvenile offenders in Orleans Parish are up from 300 to 735. Now, this shooter on Bourbon Street on Saturday night, Sunday morning, killed a 36-year-old woman. He was not a juvenile offender. However, his history goes back to 1999. He was arrested for the first time when he was 15 for simple burglary. His punishment, probation. Slap on the wrist, don't do it again. Glenn and Metairie, hi, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm angry about this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty angry myself. I briefly knew her. We met on Match.com, went out on a couple of dates, and it
really
just didn't work out. But, you know, we stayed cordial, and she, you know, from what I gathered from her, she was just a nice, well-put-together young lady. You know, she had a kid young, but her family helped her through those times, helped her.
Well, she was a registered nurse, so she apparently got it together.
Exactly.
Tell me what it was like when you heard that this was the woman that was killed. What went through your mind?
Well, I heard about the incident yesterday morning whenever I woke up, but it wasn't until I seen the name this morning whenever I woke up to get ready for work. And I said, I recognize that name, and then I looked it up, and that was her. And my first thought was, like, holy crap, I knew this person.
Yeah.
How can this happen whenever somebody's just trying to go out and have a good time, wasn't even involved in this struggle? I mean, it's just terrible that you can't even go out in the French Quarter no more and have a good time, you know, past midnight or even past 10 o'clock.
So how would you fix what happened? Knowing what you know now and looking back at the whole situation, what would you fix? What would you change?
Well, I think y'all had touched on it about 15, 20 minutes ago about maybe the security guard maybe could have went and got some police officers to get this guy out of there, because obviously at that point he wasn't like a physical threat at that point. You know, he didn't have the gun in his hand at that point, you know, so maybe he could have just called for backup to get this guy out of there. I relate this to other stories that have happened in the past few years, that if somebody is not willing to go back to jail, which who is, if you're a career criminal, And if you're not willing to go back to jail, you're going to do everything it takes to not go back to jail. I mean, if he could have gotten away with shooting her, shooting the security guard, just running down Bourbon Street and getting out of there, then he might still be on the loose. But probably not, because the police presence, like you said, was very heavy.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn. I'm glad you called. Just to be clear, he didn't shoot the guard, but he shot himself in the shoulder, at least, I guess, in the struggle for the gun. I'm reading a story here from The Advocate, and this part really resonates with me. Rosaline Brown, her friend, said she spoke with the victim Saturday before she went out with friends, and she recalled telling her to enjoy herself, but be careful, never imagining that it would be the last time they spoke. How many times have we had friends or family that go out, and we say, be careful, and then, I mean, when in this woman's case, she's gone. Because the criminal justice system failed. To me, the security at the bar, whatever it was, failed. And this woman's dead. We got to fix something, man. And then you look at juvenile offenders. This a person was indicted, 15-year-old, in the carjacking of that minister's wife. 15 years old. Glenn, hi in Metairie. I'm sorry, Glenn. Wrong line. Mark, I just talked to Glenn. Mark in Metairie, hi, you're on WWL.
How you doing, Savvy?
I'm all right. I'm angry is what I am.
I understand. I'm kind of pissed off myself. The issue here, I agree, education may be part of it. But at the same time, people know the difference between right and wrong. I don't care how old you are. Everybody's born with the sense of right and wrong. And honestly, the difference between when I was younger and you were younger and today's generation, and I'm going to say this is going to probably upset a lot of people, is a paddle. Because this guy who shot this girl, I guarantee you he's never been punished in his life by his parents. He's never been disciplined by his parents, because if you discipline him, you call the police and the parents get arrested. It all comes down to discipline.
So let me ask you this. In terms of punishment, do you think juvenile detention, juvie, whatever you call it, is for rehabilitation or for punishment? What do you think would be the more valuable lesson there?
Unfortunately, it's not going to be education. They're not going to educate them. And most of the time, I got friends who've been to jail, and they tell me that it's almost like a family reunion. There's so many people in jail, and their father's in jail, their brother's in jail, their cousins are in jail. And honestly, I'm not sure if just sending them to prison and locking them up and throwing away the key is the answer. We got to come up with something different, because we don't. Right now, they let them out of jail and they're back on the street and they're doing the same thing all over again.
Yep. Thank you, Mark. I'm glad you called. 720 more when we come back. Julie Couvillon, 36 years old, registered nurse from Metairie, 19-year-old daughter. She's gone because this career criminal wrestled the gun from a security guard, and the gun went off and hit her, and she's dead. 720, who do you blame? First of all, do you have faith in the system between the police, the criminal courts, the DA, the judges? And if you went to parades this weekend, did you feel safe where you were? Did you see enough police presence? And does this make you think twice about going to Bourbon Street? 720 now, traffic, WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about the tragic shooting that happened in the French Quarter on Bourbon Street over the weekend. A 36-year-old woman shot and killed. 23-year-old security guard shot in the neck. He was shot, I'm sorry, or she was shot after having the gun taken away from him, or at least wrestling for the gun. And the perpetrator shot himself as well. We're also talking about juvenile crime, because I don't think the two are separate. This guy was first arrested in 1999, the shooter. And he's 37 now, so unless my math fails me, I think that would have made him 14 or 15 at his first arrest. Yeah. So this problem with juvenile crime has been going on for a long time, and I think the question is, if this guy's troubles started when he was 14 or 15 for simple burglary and he received probation, with this uptick in juvenile crime, are we looking for this to happen again 15 years from now? Where you got a guy that is in trouble at 14 or 15. I'm looking at Mike Pearlstein's story from Channel 4 here, and it quotes a gentleman that is with the I'm sorry, the computer went out on me here. Aaron Clark Rizzio, director of the Louisiana Center for Children's Rights. What we know is that when you lock up a young person, you're increasing the chances that they will offend again in the future. We can't be throwing away anyone, let alone a young person that we know has tremendous capacity to change. All right, let's look at this 15-year-old that was indicted for carjacking and killing, along with two others, this pastor's wife in Gentilly, Jeanette Plessy. What do you do with him? Give me a call if you got an idea, 260-1870. Don on the North Shore. Hi, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Good morning. One of the solutions is to allow law enforcement officers, police officers, parole, probation, law enforcement officers to work details at ABOs again. They cut that out in New Orleans, and that would reduce a lot of the crime.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me all of this is going to be fixed by letting officers work details in bars? In this specific case, it may have made a difference. But come on, Don, this thing's a lot bigger than that.
It absolutely is, and I'm not saying it's going to fix it all, but it's a huge solution, especially for French Quarter and Bourbon Street. You're going to have more officers. It's not going to cost the city any more money. It's going to increase safety, and we got to remember, and I don't know anything about this particular security guard, so I'm not speaking about this specific one, but in many cases, these security guards, they're carrying level one holsters or level two holsters, not level three holsters. They're not trained regularly on weapons retention and things of that nature.
Don, that's so in this specific instance. I understand that. But you really think, honestly, are you telling me that having detailed police officers in alcohol and beverage outlets, it's going to change youthful offender crime in the city? It's going to change situations where people that are supposed to be in jail aren't? You're telling me
Let's go through it, okay? How many drug dealers are going to go into a bar and deal drugs, which is what this guy was doing? He was dealing drugs. How many are going to go into the bar and deal where there's a cop at the front door?
Tell me.
Not very many.
How many?
That's
tell
a reduction. Not very many. That's a reduction. It's just like burglarizing cars.
Don, they have people on every corner. Police officers are on every corner at Bourbon Street. And Derek called earlier. Three people approached him about buying drugs. So I understand what you're saying. You want police officers back to doing details at alcohol and beverage outlets in Orleans Parish. I get that. That's your axe that you want to grind. But to say that that's going to change anything with juvenile crime, I think, man, I got to tell you, I don't know. I think you're tapping on a seatbelt light while the plane is losing altitude and crashing. But I'm glad you called 260-1870. Let me know. You think Don's right? Is having police officers work details in bars, is that going to help with this situation? Is it about getting tougher on juvenile offenders? Somebody here said, you know what? You throw them away. You can't do that. This guy with the juvenile justice organization. Really? So what do? You let them out, give them a slap on the wrist, and hope they get their life together? Aaron Clark Rizzio, director of the Louisiana Center for Children's Rights. What we know is that when you lock up a young person, you're increasing the chances that they will offend again in the future. So what the hell do you do with them? 260-1870, back in a flash. 7:30, right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to David Blake. Thank you, David Blake, talking about that horrific shooting and murder that happened on Bourbon Street on Saturday night, early Sunday morning. Blaze, hi, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? This is my first time calling.
Well, I'm glad you did.
With these 15-year-olds and teenagers that's committing all this crime in the city, people are complaining about it. But, you know, I raised two kids in the city of New Orleans, and then I did use the belt on them every time they cut up. But they listened. And they had respect for teachers because they listened to the teachers. Now, children, you can't correct them or they're going to call the police, because I do know a case of a child called the police because she got mad with her mother, and they investigated them and everything. And teachers, you can't correct children anymore in school or they're going to get in trouble. So a lot of people want to blame the children, but we have to take control of this city as adults and police officers and understand what's going on.
Blaze, you know, somebody texted in about schools this or schools that. You know, you can take the most exclusive school in the city, and I don't know what that is, and I don't want to get in a contest about which is
well,
and which isn't.
I can tell you, once ago, my son went to De La Salle Uptown, and he was at the going to the store on Patania, and he was walking with his friend, and another guy from Porsche at the time, you know, wanted to fight him because they were going to De La Salle. Oh, and then when my son went back to fight him, he showed him a gun. My son said he took off and he ran.
Holy moly.
I got mad. I wanted to go to school, but my son was scared because if I went to the school about it, that they would retaliate back on him. And they were both African-Americans, the boys at De La Salle and the boys at Forte. So, you know, it's just that kids need to be taught at home, put the responsibility back on the parents, and don't always be quick to judge a parent how he's raising their child.
Blaze, let me tell you something, and that's what I started to say. If you think you're going to send your kid to the most exclusive school in the city, whatever that may be, mm-hmm. and that they're going to raise a kid for you and you don't have to do it at home, you're kidding yourself. I don't care if it's an inner city school. I don't care if it's the most exclusive school in the city. You got to be a parent. You can't trust the school to raise your kid. Thank you, Blaze. I'm sorry that happened to your son. 740, Tommy Tucker, back with you. One line open at 260-1870. Juvenile crime on the uptick. 15-year-old indicted for killing that pastor's wife in a carjacking. And then we had this killing on Bourbon Street happened Saturday night, Sunday morning, and the guy's record goes back to when he was 17, and you can see it increases and gets worse and worse and worse. We'll be back, WWL. 744, 16 before 8, Tommy Tucker. Lady murdered on Bourbon Street Saturday night. I guess you heard about this. I would presume you did. Saturday night, early Sunday morning, 3 o'clock, just 3:30-ish, walking outside of Bourbon Street and on Bourbon Street, and some guy gets into it. The security guard tries to throw him out of a bar, I guess like a daiquiri place, and they wrestle for the gun. The company's been in business since June, I think it is, and the security officer has been with that security company since about a half a month, they said, or maybe four a month. So we're asking you, A, are you afraid to go to Bourbon Street? B, are you afraid to go out during Mardi Gras? And I guess, C, how do you keep people from getting in this position in the first place? And I'm talking about the perpetrators and juvenile crime. Something else that we talked about is on the uptick. But this guy, the shooter, he got in trouble for the first time at 17. Simple burglary. Punishment? Probation. So for those that are saying, you know what? You really got to treat the kid better. You got to this. I don't know how much better you can do in probation. And this guy's rap sheet continued to get longer and longer and longer. John Mandeville, hi. You're on WWL. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm all right, sir. And you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. My conversation follows the guy before me. You could try to do whatever you want to do with the schools. You could try to do whatever you want to do with crime. But nothing's going to change until you modify these social welfare policies that enable these. I don't care if it's Susie's a white young girl or a black young girl, it's affecting both, and especially in the black community. The girl's like 16 years old, she has a kid, she gets WIC, everything else, then she has another mistake, she gets another package, another mistake. By the time she's 25 years old, she's got four kids. And it's just a cycle that keeps repeating. Until we stop, and I don't know what to do because nobody wants to unfund these kids, but when they know there's a safety net, and you can keep having four or five kids, and there's no father, nobody's, it doesn't matter what you do with the schools. It doesn't matter any, until you stop kids from having kids, it's going to continue. And you're not going to improve schools. You're not going to change anything until you stop having these kids. I don't know if it's to say, okay, you had one kid, we're going to help you out. But your second one, your third one, that you're on your own, you know?
See, here's the problem. The problem with that, and we've had this conversation before. You're not punishing the parent in that case. You're punishing the kid, right?
Well, you enable.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, practically speaking.
No, we're both right in a way. We're both right. I understand the issue. I mean, I don't want to see a kid not eat or whatever. But I worked at a grocery store when I was out of high school.
Yeah.
And I see what they get for like a WIC coupon. You ever see what a WIC produces? And the child, all the stuff that we've given. There's no need to get married. There's no need to have a man in your house when the government's funding everything you need to have four or five kids. And these girls are like 25 years old. And by the time they're 40, I know parents, I know people that are like younger than me and their great-grandparents. I'm like, what? you know, but when you have a kid that's 18 and 18 and 18 and 18, you do the math, you know, it's just, we've got to change the system where we stop enabling these kids to have kids, and, you know, it's just, it's, nothing's going to change. The schools are going to be terrible. When you send little Johnny there and he's got no dad, no, you know, no guidance, no yes or no, it's not going to change.
I don't think it's just about... I don't think it's just about the dad. I think what you're saying is parenting and a complete and total lack of parenting. And maybe that's because, you know, you got more children in the household than a single mother can take care of or what have you. But what do you do? That's the statement of the problem, John, and I'm not arguing with you. But what do you do? How do you fix it?
I don't know, because I hate to see those 3 and 4 kids not have food and not. But when the little girl knows that, hey, who cares? If I have 3, if I have 4, whatever, I'm just going to get more and more and more, and there's no downside. And it just enables them. The next thing you know, those kids are going to school. They got no guys. Those kids got no chance.
I hear you, John. Thank you. I want to get to Doug real quick. Hey, Doug, you're on WWL. Good morning. Hey, Doug.
Good morning, Tommy. Good morning, Tommy. Good to talk to you. How
Thank
are you
you,
doing
sir.
Today?
I'm all right. A little bit angry about what happened over the weekend.
Okay, I'm going to follow along with what the last caller said and basically say this schools, juvenile detention, everything else. The problem is that's just treating the symptom. You've got to look at the cause. You are a product of your environment. If you're brought up in a household out in a neighborhood where you've got no father figure, you've got no responsible parenting, you just become what the streets make you. And so many times, again and again and again, we're producing these little kids on the streets that do as they please. And that's the problem I'm seeing.
So how do you fix it? Are you from the UK originally?
Yeah, I think I said last time I spoke to you, I think you thought I was from Oswego, but yeah. UK originally.
No, but what I want to ask you is, I don't know how old you were when you left there, but compare and contrast juvenile crime there and here, and the root causes, et cetera.
You know, funnily enough, I spent 22 years in the police force over here.
Did you?
So, yes, I did.
Okay.
So I can really compare it much to the English system, but I could, you know, speak with some authority, like I said, of people on the streets and working the streets, and I would see a pattern that would develop, and I would see it go from generation to generation. When you've got kids that are just raised without responsible parenting and in a neighborhood where without a father figure, they tend to look for other father figures, and it's other kids on the street or other guys on the street. So what do they get taught? It's nothing good, Tommy. They're dropping out of school very early.
So let me ask you real quick, Doug, because we're running out of time here, and I don't mean to equate a human to an animal at all. I mean this only as an analogy, okay? If you got a dog that was raised and no attention was paid to it, and the dog becomes angry and vicious, so the owners, you blame the owners, right? And again, I'm not comparing this to kids, just so everybody understands that. But what do you do then? Because you got to do something. You got to deal with this dog that's very violent and angry, and it's too late.
I get what you're saying. I see a lot of people raise pit bulls, and they put pit bulls in the yard, and they put them with this huge, great chains around, and they goad them with other dogs. They teach them to become fighting dogs. Now, it's not the dog's fault the dog is the way it is. People have chosen to make.
You're breaking up, but.
Once you take that dog and put it into another environment, is there a chance that it's going to be rehabbed? Can you afford to give it to someone else where it could hurt people?
I got you, Doug. Thank you. A little bit late. Thank you for the call. 751 traffic now, WWL. 755, 5 till 8, talking about the shooting on Bourbon Street Saturday night. I find this to be an interesting text. Why is there such an outrage because it was a white woman killed? Do you really think I would feel any different? Anybody would feel any different? If a 36-year-old mother of a 19-year-old who was a registered nurse who did nothing but good for people from every account we're hearing, that it was a black woman that was killed instead of a white woman, do you really think the outrage would be any less? It wouldn't be for me, and I don't know who would say something like that. Hank in Mandeville, hi, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Good morning, Tommy.
How you?
One of the problems we got in the French Quarter is it's open all night. I mean, other parts in the country, they close bars at a reasonable time. I think if you look at our shootings, most of them are going to happen after 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The old saying goes, nothing good happens after 2 o'clock. I know the Tourist Commission and all the bars down there would be up in arms if you try closing them at a reasonable time. But I think you got to give the police department, the sanitation department, a little time to catch up with what's going on down there. I think they need a time of to close that area and have it cleaned up, swept up, everybody off the street, and start imposing some of the sanctions against juveniles with curfew and that. I mean, there's laws on the books that can be done, but we seem not to worry about it, and it progressively gets worse. And as far as parents having children they don't want or can afford, I mean, you're not going to stop that because that's society. It's just going to progress and get worse. So what you got to do is have laws to try and protect yourselves from it.
So how? What laws?
Well, there's a curfew law. Let's start enforcing curfew laws in the French Quarter. I see gang and droves of teenagers down there all the time when you're down there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't stop and search them or whatever because it's against the law. Our laws have made this crime wave possible. You can't infringe on anybody's rights anymore, you know?
So somebody's 15 and somebody wanted to know why we were talking about juvenile crime, because this guy was 36 or 37, did the shooting. Well, first of all, it's kind of like a two train tracks, right, running alongside each other. Juvenile crime in New Orleans, and Mike Pearlstein's story from Channel 4 shows this, is up from 37 violent crime petitions in 2015 to 339 now. Now, the guy that did the shooting here, he got in trouble for the first time when he was 17, simple burglary. And then his rap sheet has continued to grow and kind of increase in terms of severity of crime since then. He was given probation, 17 years old. If he had been put into the system and done real time, would that have changed what he is now, or would it have made it worse? To Raymond in New Orleans, quickly. Hi, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Good morning, Tommy. I listen to your radio station every morning, and I'm going to tell you, the problem is our government system is corrupt and the laws is corrupt. And the reason why I say that, when I was a kid, we had trade schools to go to. They took the trade school out of school, so the kids have no way to learn trade. They took the prayers out of school. And if a parent will whoop their kids now, the parent got to do is, all the kids got to do is call the police, and they're going to jail automatically.
Let me tell you,
Everybody complaining about what's going on, but nobody coming up with how to solve these problems.
Well, Mark, I might be able to. A story that was in The Advocate today, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, talks about eighth graders that are held back are more likely to commit violent crimes. And it goes to the thing of, if the LEAP score isn't good enough, the kid gets failed and has to go back, and nothing good happens from there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.